Good morning and welcome to episode 210 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by for some more hoops. If you want to contact the show, reach out to me on Twitter at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. There's the Facebook group, Taking the Charge podcast. Just put that in there, Taking the Charge podcast, and you'll find the group. There is the website, HeinNews.com. HeinNews@gmx.de is the email. And you can go to iTunes, rate, and review the show. You could support the show. Go to patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word, if you feel so inclined to support the show. Thanks again to Norbert Oputz for putting his wallet where his mouth is. Fantastic stuff. Thank you very much. Yeah, some hoops to talk about. The Asia, FIBA Asia Challenge finished up. And to be honest, I didn't really watch much of it. I'm actually going back and watching all the China games. I will be writing something about their young, I believe he's 19. Need to figure that out for my column tomorrow. Hu Jingku. Really no surprise that Iran won the competition. They beat Korea in the final with Jordan finishing third, fourth going to Iraq. Iraq took down China in the final, in the quarterfinals. Sorry, in the quarterfinals. We kind of talked about it last week a little bit, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. China, them finishing fifth really isn't a surprise. They've never been on the podium, so not really a surprise that they didn't finish up there. And like we said, Iran, finishing first is also no surprise. They brought in probably the biggest of the names of, not all of them, but most of their big guns, and so took the title, and the title for a, hang on a second, let me just see one more time. They won the FIBA Asia Challenge. If the computer wants to work, for the third straight time. So congratulations to Iran. Probably the bigger story, because it actually has a much bigger impact. So wondering if there's a, I think the one of the articles on the news page is on the news page of the FIBA Asia Challenge, I believe. Checking it right now, is sort of a breakdown. It did have a the title, the main page, the main story, the final story on the page has a breakdown of what the meaning is. It's a breakdown of which regions in Asia get how many spots in the FIBA Asia Basket. Is that what it's called? FIBA Asia Basket, 2017 qualifying spots. So that's kind of the biggest meaning of it as well. EuroBasket 2017, FIBA EuroBasket 2017. We now know the 24 teams. It should be a pretty good field. Just looking at the teams that didn't make it, Bosnia is probably the biggest name not to be in there. Obviously, they had their difficulties with infighting in the team. It's a little bit disappointing that Netherlands, after they had a pretty good EuroBasket 2015, that they weren't able to get back in there. It's all a matter of big wins or big losses, and you just cannot lose games by a wide margin. They lost their final game by a pretty wide margin to Germany. and that cost them a spot in the Eurobasket. Ukraine squeaked in at a -3, 2-2 record, and -3 as the fourth best second place team, with Netherlands being -16. And you know, that's the whole thing of you cannot lose games by a wide margin. They got blown out in their final game against Germany, waiting for the score to come up. I believe it was 80-52, if I'm not mistaken. 82-51, so 30 points. And, you know, that is by far enough to get bounced. So other than those two, I think that's probably, you could say Macedonia, MKD, former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia might be one. Sweden, maybe. Yeah, so those are the biggest teams not to make it. So the field, you look at the four hosts, Finland, Israel, Romania, and Turkey. You have the Olympic qualifiers Olympic qualifiers and Olympic teams, Croatia, Czech Republic, France, Greece, Latvia, Italy, Lithuania, Serbia, and Spain. And then you have the group winners being Belgium, Greece, Belgium, Germany, Russia, Poland, Slovenia, Georgia, Hungary, and then the four best second place teams, Iceland, who will be back at the Eurobasket for a second straight time, and actually beat Belgium for their only loss. Belgium's only lost. Montenegro, Great Britain, who finished at 2-2 with a +17 point differential, despite losing to Luxembourg. You could say you're happy about making it to the Eurobasket, but the fact that they lost to Luxembourg, still not a very good result. But you know, they had been kind of, as long as Luxembourg would have finished last, they knew that result wouldn't count. And Ukraine was the last one. So again, Netherlands on the outside looking in. But otherwise, yeah, good field. Denmark, I think, you know, there was a story on the FIBA, on the Eurobasket 2017 website, Danish Delight. And, you know, you have to be happy. If you're Denmark, you really, you know, kind of have to be happy with the performance that the team put together. They're kind of pushing hoops now up there. In a country like that, you can kind of get make some pretty good advances in a pretty quick amount of time. You look at Finland, not comparing them to Finland just because they're up there, but you know, it's a smallerish country that if you put the funding in the right places, you can, you know, get things done. You know, their first three games, you know, they kind of got blown out. You know, lost to Germany by 27, 18 to the Netherlands, and 20 to Austria. And then they beat Germany in triple overtime and brought Netherlands to overtime before losing to 10 points in Netherlands. And then ended up with their second win beating Austria by 14 points. So, you know, Denmark, not going to say they're emerging power, because that's a little too much ahead of time on that one. But still, I think you have to be happy if you're a Danish basketball fan, or happy of a program that might be able to do something in the future. I think you know, Hungary is probably one of the big teams that really impressed We talked about them last week, I believe, a little bit. Slovenia, you have to imagine that Slovenia would work really hard to get Luka Doncic into their camp for next summer. The superstar talent with Real Madrid, who I believe is going to have a fantastic year this year, especially looking at Sergio Rodriguez leaving. I think they're going to let him do a lot with the ball, and I think he's going to be fantastic this year. You know, he's a 99 born. You look and you saw what Dino Radoncic did with his Real Madrid teammate. Dino Radoncic did with Montenegro this summer, and you know, you put a guy like Doncic in there, you know, with the Dragic brothers, you know, you have Blažić, you have Prepelic, Vidmar, Muric, Omic, you know, that's a pretty good darn team. Klubikar, you know, just lots of excellent talent on that team. And you put a guy like Doncic in there, and, you know, that could be a really tough out. I know some people out there have said that Doncic probably won't play for Slovenia. I don't buy that at all. Saying that he might play for Spain, I don't buy that at all. I think he's set to play for Slovenia. He's never played for Australia. He's never played an official FIBA international game. But I think that's just a question of when, not if. I think that's enough. I mean, we could go into a little more depth, but I think we'll kind of leave it for maybe when the draw comes out, and we can kind of break down some of the teams, some of the groups and whatnot, and what we can expect from that. I have an interview this week with someone from the German Easy Credit BBL. Easy Credit is the new name sponsor for the German league. I'll kind of introduce it in a little bit. Just kind of run down some of the teams. The league starts this Friday with Bamberg, reigning champions Bamberg, going against Frankfurt Fraport Skyliners. Just kind of run down the teams a little bit, biggest changes and whatnot. And I think everybody seems to think that it's going to be Bamberg and Bayern who are going to challenge for the title. Bamberg lost, quote, only Brad Wanamaker, who went over to Dushafaka. They also lost two younger players, Johannes Thiemann and Andreas Obst. Thiemann was actually a very nice player at the, you know, he was the substitute. He was a replacement for Tibor Pleiss with the German national team. And I think he's really going to play well in Ludwigsburg. He just never had a chance to play in that, you know, high end system in Bamberg. But I think he's going to be able to play a pretty decent role. And Andy Obst went over to Gießen. Another move, I think, which will be really beneficial for him, where they'll, you know, they're definitely going to give him some time. And I think he'll probably perform pretty well. They added Maodo Low, the German guard from Colombia, and then added the French guard, Fabien Cousseau, and the pretty nice Belarusian big man, Vladimir Valamenko. One American now only with Daniel, with Darius Miller. Just totally unbelievable in a league like Germany and also in the EuroLeague. Overwhelming favorites But just knowing that they have to play 30 games in the EuroLeague, it's just going to be an unbelievable stress on this team, on the roster, and they just are not going to be able to afford injuries. And without a doubt, the strongest team in Germany. It's really just a matter of whether or not they can hold up on the injuries. I'll go with the order that they finished last year. Ulm obviously went to the finals. They lost Pierre Henry and David Bremley, but brought back everybody else and added some really nice pieces. You had Carsten Tada and Tim Olbrich, two nice Germans, Tada, veteran leader, who really played excellent in Gießen last year when he got out of Bamberg. Tim Olbrich gives him some great size. Braden Hobbs is a fantastic point guard, comes also from Gießen. And then also added Dominic Sutton, who was the replacement, injury replacement for Augustin Rubit. Brought basically everybody back. Hobbs gives them, that makes them so they don't have to rely as much on Per Gunther. Also a little bit more size at the point guard position. This team, all they do is reach the semifinals, and I don't know why they shouldn't be a contender. With Olbrich, they have a size as well now. Though they can run, they can slow it down a little bit, they can do a lot of different things. I think Joshka Ferner could take in a little step forward this year. I think Ulm's gonna be a tough team this year, a tough out as well. Fraport Skyliners, you look at the guys they lost and think how they're gonna do anything. They lost Dornikamp. Some huge Germans in Danilo Bartel, Joe Voigtmann, and Konsti Klein, as well as Jonas Richter, another good quality German, Jordan Theodore, and then also lost Tomša Dimša. They kept Quantes Robertson, gave him a 3-year deal, brought in a college rookie, Siobhan Shields, brought in Antonio Graves, brought in three nice Germans and Daniel Meyer, Meyer Agva, and the supreme talented Isaac Bonga. And, I think Nicholas Kiel could take a step forward. Marco Starks is going to play a big role on his team. Philip Scrub, when he comes back from being injured. And they all they do is just and there's no pressure. It's going to be an interesting team. Do I think they're going to finish third again? I'm going to probably say no. But I definitely could see this team making the playoffs, unless maybe Robertson goes down with an injury. Then just because he's such their heart and soul. But we'll see. Definitely going to be an interesting team, and we'll talk more about Fraport Skyliners in the interview I talked to GM Gunnar Vupka. We'll wait until the end on that one. Bayern was the other semifinalist. And, obviously Sasha Djordjevic comes in to replace Sladislav Pezic, brings in a really, really nice group of players. Daniel Bartel, the German power forward. You bring Reggie Redding back, who, really wanted to get out of Germany, Turkey, and was a borderline MVP candidate in Germany. Devin Booker's a beast. Vladimir Lucic was an enticing guy who comes from Spain. And then you have the giant Andre Belvin, the Czech. So you put them together with Gavel, Taylor, Jedovic, Renfro, Kleber, it's a pretty nice group. And you know, there's money there that that if need be, they can go out and grab one more player. So I think this is going to be, I would say this is title contender number one, along with to the favorite of Bamberg. Oldenburg, you know, kept, you know, the main core of their team. You know, did lose Smolders, Alexandrov, and Prepelic, and Machado as well, but you know, kept the core of Kramer Polding, Schwedhelm, you know. So and then Kvale, Duggins, you know, it's a nice group. And then they added Franz Messenet to, you know, another strong backcourt member. Maximim Desveau, the Belgian international, and then German big man in Dirk Matrix. So, you know, this is a decent team. I think I think Nicholas Wimberg, you know, if he can maybe take another step forward and give them another weapon from the wing, that'd be nice. It'd be nice for them. And you know, I can imagine them challenging for a top four spot. They are in the Champions League, the Basketball Champions League. So, you know, they have they'll be playing internationally. So it should be a good team. MHP Reason Ludwigsburg, you know, basically redid their team. Kept David McRae, kept Brad Losing, and kept Jason Boone, and then just changed everybody else, bringing in two rookies out of college, bringing in two guys from Spain, so you know, you look at, you know, Jack Cooley's probably going to be their main guy. You know, Boone will be important for them. Kelvin Martin probably. You know, Wes Washpon from Northern Iowa probably be important. So yeah, it's a team that's gonna need probably a little bit to get back to find some cohesion. I think you know, the maybe an addition late in the year, maybe John Brockman. You know, he says he's gonna take a year sabbatical. Maybe if he gets the itch later in the year, and John Patrick can talk him into coming back, you know, maybe that's something that could happen. We'll see. But one thing, you know, is they're going to play some D and get after it. Whether or not it's enough, I think we'll just have to see how these parts. There's a lot of young kids here, and have to see how they all gel. Alba Berlin, this is the next step of the remake. You had the new sports director come in, Himar Ojeda. Now you have the Turkish young Turkish coach. Shock, I can't remember the first name at the top of my head right now. You bring in a nice group of players. You keep the Germans, Akpinar, Vargas, Giffey. You keep the two Yugoslavs, Serbians, Milosavljevic, and then Elmadin Kikanovic from Bosnia. You add Peyton Siva. You add Engin Atsur as a German, very nice. Bogdan Radosevic, you know, really interesting big man, who, if he takes the next step, could be really great. Tony Gaffney was a late addition, along with Paul Carter, Dominic Johnson. This team could be interesting. You know, it's definitely definitely going to be improving over the course of the year. So we'll have to see how they go. But I think that they could be they'll be a much, much stronger team at the end of the year than they are at the beginning. So watch out for Alba. S. Oliver Würzburg, another team that changed out a lot of parts, you know, kept Ulmer, kept Lane, you know, which you have to like. Brought in Jake Odom and Vladimir Halevich as a nice tandem. Brought in the really athletic Marshawn Powell, who got hurt, and they brought in James Sutherland to replace him for a couple of months. So it should be an interesting group. Krasimir Lonkar, could be another big addition as a German. So this is a team that should make the playoffs, I would imagine. Geese 46ers, they just lost so much, and they're going to be so young. They're going to be young, and it's going to be interesting to see how this team could play. You know, you like Thomas Scrub, Phillip's brother, coming in. I think Andy Opes could play a pretty nice role here. Cameron Wells is obviously going to be the leader of this team. Benjamin Lushka as well. But, you know, what does Justin Sears do as a rookie? What can Jessica Saibu do? Maurice Peluska didn't play much last year, but has some good talents. So this is a team that probably should stay in the league. Probably unless Cameron Wells goes down. But I think this is a team that's going to bring in at least one or two more players after they see what they have. I think figure out what they have on the cheap, if you will, right now, going young, and then see what they might need. Basketball, Leuven Braunschweig. I think this team might be going down. Yeah, a team that's going to have to rely on Nikolai Seaman and Yannick Frieza, probably as two of their main leaders. You bring in two college rookies. You bring in guys that don't have Bundesliga BBL experience. This team's going to struggle, and I would say this is one of the main team's favorites, if you will, to get the drop. Telecom Baskets Bonn, tough year, and it's over, and they've definitely cleaned house, bringing basically only Florian Koch back. You bring in two players from Frankfurt in Konsti Klein and Johannes Richter. You bring in two players from Gießen, AJ DeLeo and Jormann Polas Bartola, all four of those Germans. And then add a mix of a couple Americans, Ryan Thompson, who knows the league when he was with Bamberg, and it's definitely a totally different team, and I think they should challenge for a spot in the playoffs. I whether or not they make it there remains to be seen. They're going to add players for sure. It's just a matter of who they. What they have right now, they'll try to figure that out and then go from there. Medi Bayreuth kept their nice German core of Steve Wachowski, Bastian Dorit, and Andreas Seifert, and then brought in. They're okay. You like Nate Linhardt, who obviously has some big time experience. You brought in a rookie from Louisville. Joseph Lewis, who obviously has a pretty good training. You have the Egyptian national team center in SMRI. Keenan Anderson hasn't been in the European ranks very long, so we'll have to see how he kind of comes on. But this is another team that I can imagine will probably try to look and find somebody when they figure out what they have and what they still need. But if things go right, they could and should contend for a playoff spot. Phoenix Hagen's next team. You lose. You lose DJ Covington, Brandon Jefferson, and, you know, Nicholas Gesko, who's one of the, you know, better young German point guards out there. Brought in a couple of pretty nice players. Richard Williams, who obviously knows Germany pretty well. Trent Plyston really is a huge help, as he'll, you know, team with Owen Claussen to give the team some really, really good size, which they haven't had in the past. And basically, I think it's going to be the Richard Williams, David Bell show, with guys like Plested, Klassen, and probably, you know, Dunbar, and Haas is an NBA, is a college rookie, so it depends on how he comes in. They'll be filling it up, in sort of, not reserve roles, but, sort of, you know, along, you know, they're not going to be leaders. Walter Tigers, tubing in, another team cleaned house and, made a lot of changes. I'm trying to figure out, they didn't bring back, they kept Jared Jordan. I guess they also kept Alvaro Munoz. They did end up bringing back Garland Green. I think that's a short-term contract for an injury. But you know, you like them bringing in Isaiah Fillmore, who could be a pretty good. No, Munoz is from Ludwigsburg, so he wasn't kept. I can't figure out who the other guy they kept was. Julian Osborne could be a pretty good player for them. Gary McGee will be an important player for them. But really, it's just Jordan and how he's able to bring these guys all together, and if these guys are able to play some D together. They brought in Stanton Kidd and Barry Stewart, both from Lindbergh, and that helped them. In there, trying to get to know everybody and get things back in line. Ice Baron Bremerhaven, another team that really changed its face entirely, and yeah. You look at them bringing in Harper Camp is going to be important to them. Losing David Bremley is going to probably hurt a little bit. You know, Quincy Diggs will probably be important for them, and probably Patrick Christopherson. You know, those guys will probably be the main guys. You know, but, you know, it's definitely going to be a different team. You lose, you know, you get rid of Gordon, you get rid of Williams, get rid of Freeze, get rid of Fogg. Just a totally different team, and you're just going to have to see how they gel. And then go from there. Göttingen kept a couple of players, but really didn't keep that many. It was nice that they were able to bring in a couple of they ended up bringing in Benes Vekakalas, the Lithuanian. Who knows the league? You know, they were able to bring in Andre Mangold, Adam Waliszkowski from Ludwigsburg. You know, the two good German players. Jesse Sanders knows the league from playing with Tübingen. They're going to be fighting against relegation for sure. And but it would seem to me that they should have the goods to stay. Last two teams are the promoted teams, and the Science City Jena could be one of the most interesting teams here. If you look at their team, and you know, basically, if you make it 5 years ago, and you look at Julius Jenkins, Emmanuel McElroy, Filiberto Rivera, and then throw in there, you know, Kenneth Freeze. You know, this is a nice group that probably contend for a title 5 years ago or so. But obviously these guys are veterans now, and they're just going to, you know, really try to teach the youngsters, and show them the tricks of the trade. You can imagine that Wayne Bernard, besides those guys, Wayne Bernard is going to probably play a pretty big role. I like them bringing in Daniel Schmidt, the point guard from Bauna, from Bamberg. You know, him coming in there, he'll probably have a good chance to play and prove himself. Stefan Haukol came in from NBC. NBC is obviously the team that, you know, had been relying on their Germans, and then when they fired Poropat, brought in can't even remember who they brought in anymore. There was basically, we have to stave off relegation now. That, and he basically, was it Krunoch? Whatever the coach, I can't remember the name of the coach. And that was basically the end of the German youth experiment. And Haukol was probably one of the main guys who got hit with that. And so I like him coming in. Maybe that might be, that give him a chance now to really prove himself. Last team, Rostov-Vechta, another veteran coming back to the first division. It was really cool that Emmanuel McElroy went down and played for the second division and Pro A, and then came back up. Derek Allen, same with Rostov-Vechta. So Derek Allen obviously is going to be one of their leaders. Christian Standherdiger also went down. And believe he won the MVP of the league. He'll be back. You bring in a good big man in Devin Searcy. You bring in the young German getting there, still young in Nicholas Geske and Beshnik Peteschke, two young German guards. Scott Machado has some good experience from Oldenburg, and this team could be interesting. This team could be really interesting. Whether I don't think that they can contend, they definitely cannot contend for a title. But they could give a nice fight for the playoffs. Obviously, number one goal for them is to avoid relegation. But I think this is a team that. Should be safe. I don't see them going down. Champion, I think, is going to be Bamberg. They'll probably beat Bayern in the final. And I think probably two teams going down will be Braunschweig. I kind of thinking it might be Tübingen. I just don't think that a Jared Jordan team will go down. Maybe I'll go with Göttingen. Just the fact they don't have they didn't have a lot of money to bring many guys in. I think Göttingen will go down. Göttingen and Braunschweig are my two teams that would be going down. My surprise team, I'm going to say, I don't know if I really want to say, I'm going to say Hagen. I'm going to say Phoenix Hagen. I think that Trent Plasted size is going to be really, really important. There'll be one or two more kids that Hagen have in their system that they'll help bring up. And those kids are going to get better, especially if like Jonas Grof can do something. He's like a 6'6" point guard. Marcel Kessen, learning every day, working every day with Klassen and Plaisted. He's a decent big, who could really benefit from all that. It seems to me they might need a wing. But like I said, they'll have a little bit of money, and they could probably bring somebody in. So my surprise is Hagen, unless they finish eighth in the playoffs. Then they, but Actually, it kind of seems like you're going to need to finish sixth to avoid Bamberg and Bayern, either of those two. So if you want to contend for the title, I think you've got to finish sixth and higher, preferably sixth, because then you wouldn't face the winners until the first place team until the final. Is that right? 1-4. 1-4, then 8, 1-4, 2-3, 2-7, yeah, 3-6, so you wouldn't meet them. Is that right? Anyhow, but you definitely want to avoid Berlin, Bamberg and Bayern in the first round. So that's my rundown of the Easy Credit BBL. I'm not going to do this for every league. It's just because I, you know the league here. From a proximity that much more. The league still, you know, has a goal of being, you know, they still have their 2020 goal of being the best league in the best domestic league in Europe. So that's not going to change at all. They've set a Friday night. Friday night game on TV, so that will be good for them. They also set a time. There'll be a Saturday night game on sort of the game of the week on their telecom package, so that'll be important. You know, they're looking to try to get to more people, to get a larger reach. 8:30 tip off is on Saturday. 7 p.m. is the Friday game on TV. And they're looking to maybe try to, they're still looking to maybe get one more spot on TV somewhere. You know, they've realized that they need to get on TV to get more people involved in the game, and so that's their 2020. You know, the league didn't bring in as many big names as it has in the years past, but I think that all the clubs really seem like they're pretty financially stable. Braunschweig might be one that's not, you know. Göttingen also kind of struggled a little bit financially. But in general, I think it's the league is still really strong, you know, they have 8 teams playing international basketball this year, this season. Bamberg is obviously in the EuroLeague. Berlin, Bayern, Ulm are in the Euro Cup, and then you have Frankfurt, Oldenburg, and Ludwigsburg in the Basketball Champions League, and then you have Telekom Baskets Bonn in the FIBA Europe Cup. So 8 teams represented internationally, obviously a big deal. They also have a new sponsor, and you know, they're going to try to push that as well. Easy Credit, which is a basically an online banking company here in Germany, and so they're going to try to push the league as well. So obviously the biggest thing is success on an international level, and you know, whether or not Bamberg have the chops to make it to the quarterfinals, you know, it's a long year with 30 games in the regular season, and just have to see. You know, I mean, last year was obviously magical. Last season was magical with all those amazing victories. Now having to play every one of those teams twice, home and away, and not quote only having to get by that group, it's going to be tough. So it's going to be an exciting year. One of the teams that obviously is always exciting because of their willingness to give young German players a chance to play is Fraport Skyliners. As I mentioned earlier, that's my interview this week. I had a chance at the Easy Credit BBL tip-off meeting to talk to the general manager of Fraport Skyliners, Gunnar Rupka. So here's my chat with him. Enjoy, and we'll catch you on the other side. Gunnar Rupka here at the Easy Credit BBL tip-off. You come here as top three team from last year. Thoughts about expectations, maybe just in general going into the season. We can talk about more specifics about the team, but in general expectations going into the season.
I mean, we will just continue with what we did in the years before. We will try to build a team out of young players and try to educate them and get better every year. We will try to play attractive basketball for our fans, and obviously we're ambitious and we try to reach the playoffs.
Obviously, one of the highlights really before the season kicks off is the World Club Championship, the FIBA Club. Talk about being chosen to play in that game, what it means for the club, and then if you were to get the title, to be crowned a World Club Champion. In general, thoughts about being in this competition.
Yeah, I mean, it's we came to play that competition a little bit like Maria got the child, but obviously we won the FIBA Cup last year, and because of that we have been asked, due to the fightings in between FIBA and EuroLeague and that they meet in court, and whether we would like to play the International Cup this year. And obviously we said yes, we would like to, because it's a great opportunity for our young team to really play a great team that really beat on the road three Brazilian teams in the Final Four in South America to make it to that competition. And so we are very proud that we have been asked to play this. We are very happy that we can play it in Frankfurt next Sunday in front of our fans. And so I really look forward to this.
Last season, you know, you really brought a lot of excitement to basketball here in Germany, also in Europe, like you said, with the FIBA Europe Cup. You know, there's not a load of money in the club, and you know, you weren't able to keep a lot of the main players from last year, Danilo Bartel, Voigtmann, you know, Konsti Klein went elsewhere as well, Jordan Theodore. What's that situation like for you in general, knowing that, you know, you might not be able to have the money that you might want to have, and then knowing that, you know, some of the top players that you guys do develop, that you're also going to kind of see, you might also see them kind of move on to bigger and what those players may think, better situations.
I think it's the same in every club in the world and in every sports in the world, that there's always someone who has a little bit more money that maybe is able to get one of the players you would like to keep in your team. But I think we have pretty high continuity, even though the outside people do not really recognize. But we kept three foreigners from last year, and they get better every year. And we are very proud that we could keep Tess and give him a three-year deal. So that's really rare in the world of basketball, that you have really an outstanding player like Tess staying his more or less whole career with one team. And we already built in the back a lot of young players, and obviously we lost the main three German players that played the main minutes in this team, and but we are very happy for them, because Danilo moving to Bayern Munich and Johannes Voigtmann moving to Spain to a team that participated in the EuroLeague Final Four really is a great step for them. And so I'm really proud that we built them, and that was the goal. They all became national team players, A national team players with us, and so we are very proud that we reached that goal for them. And then time by time, it's just time to move on. So I'm not disappointed about that. Obviously, we would like to have kept Danilo for one more season, but then it would have been the latest anyhow way is to move on. So I'm kind of okay with that.
Maybe talk about the club's decision, the way, if you will, the Frankfurt way to take young players and develop them. You know, you look at Max Mertz, you know, Ilshofer, you know, these guys, you know, they've been playing in the Bundesliga for four seasons already. You know, not a lot of games, but you know, they've
they've been included in that. And now, you know, you're bringing in, you're bringing in Bonga, you're bringing in Akva. We can kind of come to the back. Nicholas Kiel was already there last year, you know, also got a taste of the Bundesliga. Talk about the club's decision to go that way, and why it's so important.
I mean, part of everything in the world, or one of the main needs of human beings, of companies, of plans, or whatever, is growth. And what we reach with those guys is obviously that if we do a right job, and especially they do the right job and really work hard, everybody grows in our club. So there's no excuses for them due to the philosophy we have, and due to the structure we build, and due to the coaching staff we build, and the organization goals behind it. Everybody who comes to our team is better in the next year. And this is also not only true for the young Germans, so that this is also true for the foreign players that enter or come to our club. So you have American players that maybe just stay for 1 year and then maybe quadruple their salaries, and if they can make that money and they did the step through us, we are very happy. Obviously this year we worked very hard in making sure that on the foreigner positions in the future we also get a little bit more continuity, or that we are structuring the whole system in the way we do it to get more continuity, and it's very good. I mean, we have Tess for 3 years, Morrison we signed for 2 years. We have an option for next year on two of the new Americans we signed. So if we want to keep them, we have them for next year. So I'm very happy that we could structure it this way. And so we already know part of the Americans for next season, and we know almost all the Germans for next season. So we can really build. Yeah. And so and obviously another reason for that is that we don't have the pressure that we have to win a title, because it would be stupid if people ask us that you have to win a title with the situation we are at. And so it's fun for us to overperform budget wise.
The young Germans have seen, if we come to Frankfurt, we're going to get playing time if we deserve it. You know, we saw Arnaldas Kobolkas come to Bamberg. You know, he was a highly regarded prospect. You know, could have gone to a lot of different places other than just maybe even stay in Lithuania. You had Tomas Dibša, who's a highly regarded talent, had some injuries last year. And you know, is bringing in young foreign players, is that something that the club is maybe isn't that another thing that the club might consider, yeah, sort of in the next couple of years to do that as well?
No, we consider that obviously. So that's why I always say our first goal is to build young in question marks German players, yeah. And we would have kept Thomas if this would not be in conflict with Stefan Ilzhofer. And the only reason why you brought him last year was that it was clear that Stefan will be longer out, and that we cannot count on him being in both teams, because we have a system also. We have a first division team and we have a second division team, and if we have, as long as we play so many guys in both teams, an injury hurts double. It hurts in the first division and in the second division, and so we have to make sure that we don't ruin our building concept in the second division with the young NBBL players, for example, in the Pro B. And we need to stay in that league because it's very important for our development of the young guys. And so it's pretty kind of complex system. You can only do it if you have the first team playing in the same and practicing in the same arena than the pro farm team is. I think other than that it can't work, in my opinion. Not really for many players, but obviously everybody has a challenge, and sometimes we have to react on injuries, and that's what we did last year, and that's why we brought Thomas Dimser when the situation was there, with the idea to keep him. But we saw if we keep him, then we cannot play Stefan this year, and it will be a fight that they fight for the same minutes. And that's, if you build it conceptually like this, then you can be sure that they will not be injured, and then you have a problem because you don't give the opportunity for everybody to grow.
Nicholas Kiel, you mentioned him before, you know, took a big step in his first year in Pro B, seems to be kind of destined to be more on the BBL roster this year. What are your expectations from him? You know, still only a 97, so he'll only turn 20 during the season.
Yeah, I mean, Niklas lost a little bit time last year from the concept we've built for him. That was due to injuries, and that was due to a school situation, because the idea was that he is already more with our team, that he is more in practices and more in games with our team last year already. School became kind of difficult in October, and that was the highest goal we put up for his development, that he makes his Abitur while he is with us. That's what we promised his parents, and that's why when we figured out together with Christiane Merz that there might be difficulties in school in his second, in his last year of the Abitur, we just took a very strong decision, and we decided, I called the national team coaches, I talked to our coaches, and we told them, hey, school is first, everything comes second, he needs to make his Abitur now so that he can be a professional player next year. So this summer, I think he did major steps. He did not go to the national team so that we could work individually with him, that we can work. Yeah, so that we, and to the under-20s, where he's obviously would be, have been one of the dominant players, but due to the injury situation and due to the kind of parts of the year he lost last year, we thought, and it's very important that he works out now, that he builds his body, that we avoid injuries when he gets to the first team, because it's really a big difference in between Pro B and the BBL with all that speed and that athleticism. You need just a stronger body to survive the practices. Not even talking about the games, yeah. and so we he had a good summer. He worked hard, and so I think this year will be a very nice situation for him. He built the team, then he can play.
You can talk to about them as much as you feel like you want to. The three young Germans, I just do a lot more youth basketball, and you know, Daniel Meyer comes over from Bayern, sort of in a swap, not necessarily, but sort of. You know, he was in a tough situation there because they only had the fourth league team, the first regional league team. You know, people thought he could have played a little bit higher. Obviously, there were so many expectations at Bayern. You know, Mahir Agva played an entire year as a 19-year-old in Tübingen and really did a pretty good job. And then you look at Isaac Bonga, who, you know, people are saying might even be the, you know, top three guy in the 99 generation in Europe. Maybe just talk about what it's like having each of those three guys in your program now.
Yeah, I mean, it's our concept that we bring them, if possible, a little bit younger. We were interested in Agva already 2 years ago, and it didn't work out to bring him, because he's also a good friend with Niklas, and that would have been a good fit. So now the opportunity just popped up that it makes sense for him to come to us. So it was more or less a late signing, because before we did the signing of Daniel Meyer. So we have two very young Germans. One is a little bit older, but did not really play in the last years and came with an injury that he's still not practicing, so we hope that it
Meyer's not practicing.
No, but it will maybe 2-3 weeks hopefully, but so it's a quite a risk which we go there, but that's our concept and that's why we did it. So
and Isaac?
Yeah, I mean, Isaac obviously is the guy I invested the most time together with our coaching staff to recruit him. And we already brought him in last year to play on the NBBL team, and we even would have brought him to do Pro B, but didn't work out for whatever reasons. And now he's here, and I'm happy that he's here, and he's shown the coaches in the first games that he is really not only a talented guy but also a focused guy. For us, it's important that also he is taking care for his school things, but obviously he's a very very big talent, and I hope we see him on the court this year. It all goes down to him to be on the court, not to anybody else.
Okay. Can I just go back to the club now in general? You know, you want to be the world club champions. That's the first tournament. The Easy Credit BBL. Maybe just in general expectations coming in now. What do you know? You come in, you say you want to be in the playoffs.
That's the general club positioning. This has nothing to do with this season. Obviously, we have kind of a tough situation, right? With the head coach being out in the last weeks and for some more months, most likely. And obviously, the good thing is we have very big continuity in all the other coaching staff, in the athletic coach, in all our medical parts. We have So I think we have a system that we can hold that. We have with Klaus someone that in the beginning was a little bit hesitating because he never wanted to be a head coach anymore, but I'm very happy that he finally said, no, I do it, interim head coach. And so that's the same we do with young guys. I think the same we should do with coaches. And so we have great guys and we want them to do the job, right? And but it's for me, it's to be honest, in that positioning before the season, I very often know pretty exactly where we end up. This year it's kind of a little bit interesting to me, so it could be the range could be a little bit bigger, but as I said, I mean, our main goal is always to reach the playoffs, and why would we change the main goal? I mean, we just go with that. That's a club goal, and so we go with that.
International,
obviously, we got even younger, and we'll play every game to win. So obviously, we are not really the favorites on Sunday.
European.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The competition we play in this year is obviously a lot stronger than it was last year, and from there, I don't want to say too much because what we do is we communicate the goals after the team set the goals for themselves, and that's why I don't want to do this right now. But maybe next Tuesday when we do our press conference for the season start, then you might hear a little bit more about that. But we have to talk about that with the team before we talk to the public.
I'll let the Frankfurt media people get that first.
It will be. I'm pretty sure that that it will be in the internet, because in general we do a live video conference and live stream. So I think that you can watch it there if you like to.
Okay, Bruno Ripko, thank you very much and good luck this season.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have a chance to totally ask him. I didn't want to keep him too much longer because I had already had him pretty long time. But the other teams didn't really have a chance to ask him about the group. He's in the Basketball Champions League, Fraport Skyliners. They're in with Monaco, Banvit, Helios Suns, Slovenian team, Aras, obviously one of the big teams in Greece. Is that right? Yeah, I guess so. And then Nymburk, and then two teams from the qualification round, Rilski. The winner between Rilski, Tsumki, and Naria, the Israeli team. And then the other one would be Donar Tartu winner versus Bakken, the Danish team. Pretty tough group. Banvit, Aras, Monaco, Nymburk. So should be a challenge. Just a really young, exciting team. And should be fun. So that's the end of the show this week. By the time we talk next week, I'll have been to see Bamberg play. Finally, haven't seen him play this year, and any of the preseason. But I have a chance to go check out Bamberg and Fraport Skyliners in the opener. So I'm gonna enjoy that. I am not sure when the other domestic leagues are tipping off. I imagine they're tipping off either this or next week, a few of them. But we'll definitely talk more hoops than domestically hoops next week. So until then, enjoy, and enjoy the hoops. Wait. Not enjoy the hoops just yet. Almost forgot. Let you know what you're going to be listening to. The song's called Signal B. It's by Octopus. It is available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy, and this time, yes, definitely. Talk to you next week.
is Jan Armusa and you listen to Taking Charge.